Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We're here again, taking your sources, getting right into them.
Yep, seeing what they really tell us.
And today, we're diving into something that feels, well, incredibly timely.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how Black Mirror, you know that show?
Oh, yeah, the one that gives everyone anxiety about their phone.
Exactly, how it's feeling less like future fiction and more like, well, just our reality now. We've got a whole stack of material here, articles, some really deep analysis research papers.
Mm-hmm.
All looking at AI and other tech from the show that, well, it isn't hypothetical anymore. It's either here or it's really close.
And our mission for this deep dive is basically to unpack what these sources are actually telling us. You know, how feasible is this stuff? What are the real implications?
Right.
We'll look at specific episodes, specific tech, and see how it mirrors what's happening, pulling insights straight from the stuff you sent us.
Have you ever watched an episode and just got that, like, chill?
Yeah.
Thinking, wow, how close are we to that?
Yeah.
Well, we're going there today. Social credit, memory recording, grief bots, even brain implants. So, yeah, buckle up.
It's quite a list.
It is. Ever thought about how close we might be to living in one of those episodes? Okay, let's unpack this. Let's kick off with one that probably felt a bit too real for many people. Nosedive.
Ah, the rating system episode, yeah.
Remember that. Everyone constantly rating each other. And your score basically runs your life, your status, where you can live, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like such a sharp take on social media obsession back then.
And the sources definitely pick up on that social media critique, for sure. But they also point out it's tapping into something much older, much broader.
Like what?
Well, things like class, perceived hierarchy, discrimination, and this whole idea of performing your identity.
Performing.
Yeah, like life's a stage. There was a Reddit discussion mentioned that said it's deeper than just likes. It's about the whole system that makes you act a certain way.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not just about being popular. It's about crafting this perfect persona.
Exactly. And this psychological analysis we looked at from Saichi, it really digs into that. It connects it to ideas like dramaturgy.
Dramaturgy, like life's a play.
Pretty much. We're always performing for an audience. And impression management consciously shaping how people see you?
Like Lacey practicing her laugh in the mirror. That felt so forced.
Totally. Pure performance. And the source also talks about groupthink, you know, just going along with the crowd to fit in, like when Lacey shuns her coworker.
Yeah, even though she didn't seem to want to.
Right. It shows how these systems can really push people towards being, well, kind of superficial and just conforming.
And it brings out a pretty grim side of things, doesn't it? The sources mention dehumanization, that constant need to please people. It's not genuine. It's totally self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Naomi telling Lacey straight up she only got the wedding invite because her score was good for Naomi's image.
Brutal honesty right there.
It really is. People just sacrificing real connection, real feelings, just for points, for status.
And that definitely takes a psychological toll. The sources talk about the hedonic treadmill.
The what now?
The hedonic treadmill. It's like you're constantly chasing the next hit of validation, a higher score, but you never actually feel satisfied. It just keeps moving.
Ah, okay. Like running but staying in the same place.
Exactly. It fuels negative social comparison, makes you constantly perform this often fake version of yourself. The Saichi source uses Susan, the truck driver, as the opposite.
Right, she just opted out.
Yeah, she stopped performing and found freedom in just being herself. A stark contrast.
Okay, so that's the fictional warning. But then, boom, China's social credit system. That comparison comes up constantly.
It really does. And the source we have on that explains it was announced back in 2014, aiming for wider rollout by 2020. But it's important to get this right. It's not actually one single unified system across the whole country. Not yet, anyway.
Oh, really? So, I always pictured it as one giant score.
Well, it's more like a patchwork. Different local governments have their own pilot programs, and private companies have systems too, like Ant Financial's Sesame Credit.
Sesame Credit, yeah.
And technically, the sources say participation is often voluntary at the moment, but there are definitely strong incentives, maybe even pressure, to join in.
So not quite the monolithic government score from the show, but similar elements.
The building blocks seem to be there. The sources list specific criteria. You can lose points for, you know, traffic tickets, not paying fines.
Okay, standard stuff.
But also things like standing up a taxi reservation or even stealing electricity in certain cities like Rongcheng.
Wow.
And you can gain points for good deeds like donations. Private systems like Sesame Credit use different data, maybe docking points for too much gaming time.
Seriously?
Yeah, or boosting it for being a parent. And controversially, they linked Sesame Credit scores to a dating platform at one point.
Oof. Okay, so what are the consequences? High score versus low score.
Well, high scores can get you perks, quicker processing for paperwork, maybe discounts. Low scores, that can mean extra hurdles, more fees, even being blocked from buying plane or train tickets.
Whoa.
The source calls it a potential negative spiral. It could really deepen social divides.
What's the official reason for it? The government's stated goal?
The sources say it's framed as building trust, addressing issues like food safety scandals in the past, or the fact that many people in rural areas don't have a traditional credit history.
Okay, I can see the argument there.
Yeah.
But the critiques?
They're significant. Concerns that it's used to enforce vague laws, automate political control. Some analysis even links it to a kind of tech-updated version of Mao's mass line idea for social management.
And I assume this all relies heavily on surveillance.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Facial recognition, massive camera networks. The source mentions that test where a BBC reporter was tracked down in just 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Yeah. And the use of this tech, especially in places like Xinjiang, is highlighted as a major point of concern.
So the sources seem to paint a picture that's complex, not quite nosedive, but maybe heading that way.
That's a fair summary. They say it's not necessarily the full-blown dystopia some extreme Western media portrays, but they do explicitly call it quite scary.
Right.
And they stress it's different from, say, your Uber rating because of the government link and control potential, and they actually warn other countries against copying it. It's definitely a real system with some deeply unsettling echoes of Black Mirror.
Wow. Okay. So controlling your life via a score.
Yeah.
That's one unsettling direction. What about controlling your own past, your memories? That brings us to the entire history of you.
Ah, the grain, the little implant that records everything.
Yeah, it records everything you see and hear. Perfect recall, instant replay. Seems appealing at first, right? Reliving good times.
For about 5 minutes, maybe. Then the episode shows the nightmare. Obsessively replaying conversations, feeding jealousy, destroying relationships.
Exactly. It gets dark fast. Is anything like that actually possible?
Well, the sources point to tech moving that way. Back in 2017, a company called MMT Neurotech reported they were developing an implanted memory playback system using fMRI scans.
Seriously? An implant?
Yeah. Now, their stated goal was positive, helping Alzheimer's patients access memories, or maybe implanting helpful memories for people with autism. Noble goals.
Sure.
But the source immediately asks the obvious question. What happens when this gets commercialized? It's not hard to see it becoming the grain, is it?
Not at all. From replaying memories to, well, dealing with memories of people who are gone, that leads us to these digital resurrection technologies, grief bots.
Right. And the VKTR.com source really delves into this. These tools try to simulate conversations, interactions with loved ones who've passed away.
Using their old texts and emails and stuff.
Exactly. Using their digital footprint to mimic their likeness, their way of speaking. And the source does acknowledge, look, for some people, this might offer a kind of comfort.
I could sort of see the appeal, wanting that connection. But it just feels ethically murky right off the bat.
Deeply murky. And the sources lay out huge ethical, psychological, and even societal questions. Ethics-wise, consent is paramount.
Consent from the person who died.
Yes. The source cites survey data. I think it was Masaki Owasaki's survey showing 58% acceptance if the person gave explicit consent beforehand. But without consent, acceptance plummets to just 3%.
Wow, that's a massive difference.
Huge. And then you have questions about, you know, companies commercializing grief, the need for transparency, the very real danger of deepfakes being used maliciously if this isn't regulated carefully.
And psychologically, does it actually help people grieve, or does it just trap them somehow?
That's a major concern raised in the source. It could definitely complicate grieving. They mentioned the example of Joshua Barbeau using Project December.
Oh, I remember reading about that. He talked to an AI version of his fiance.
Right. And while he felt it gave him some closure, the source points out the risk. You might get stuck attached to this digital copy, delaying acceptance, keeping you kind of tethered instead of moving through grief.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's a real danger of exploiting vulnerable people. The source really stresses the need to bring mental health professionals into the loop as these things are developed.
Definitely. It's not just code. It's about how humans process loss.
Precisely. And societally. The source asks if these tools could fundamentally change how we view relationships, even death itself.
How so?
Well, the argument is that knowing relationships are finite, that we will experience loss, is part of what makes them so deep and precious. We cherish the time we have.
Okay.
If you have this digital continuity, does it lessen the urgency to nurture living relationships? Does it devalue real human connection? Even mourning rituals could change, maybe lose their cultural weight if companies don't handle this thoughtfully.
So many to consider there. Okay, we've hit social scores, memory tech, digital ghosts. It really feels like these Black Mirror lines are blurring fast.
They really are. And maybe nowhere is that line blurrier than with brain-computer interfaces, ECIs.
Oh, yeah. The direct brain.
Yeah, exactly. Neuralink gets a ton of press, but the sources make it clear. Lots of different groups are working on this. This is tech interacting directly with our minds, echoing some of the show's most invasive ideas.
So Neuralink. What's the latest the sources say about them?
Well, the Frontier source mentions their first human implant, the Telepathy N1, early in 2024, allowed someone who was paralyzed to control a computer cursor just by, well, thinking about it, as it's often put.
Incredible.
Yeah. And they've announced other projects, Blindsight, aiming for vision restoration, ConvY for controlling robotic limbs. The source highlights their innovations, tiny devices, loads of electrodes, robotic implantation, wireless function. It's advanced stuff.
The medical potential seems enormous.
It really does. For severe disabilities, quadriplegia, blindness, it could be life-changing. And potentially for neurological psychiatric conditions, too.
And it's not just Neuralink pushing this.
No, the source mentions other exciting work. Like that digital bridge out of Lausanne, helping a man with a spinal injury walk again by rerouting brain signals. There's research into less invasive implants, adaptive systems using AI, even decoding speech from brain signals for people who can't talk. Neuralink is prominent, maybe the most funded, but not alone.
Okay, the benefits are clear, potentially revolutionary. But yeah, this is where it gets really interesting, right? The bigger questions these raise.
Oh, absolutely. And the sources dive right into the challenges. Clinically, there are still big unknowns.
Like what?
Long-term effects, basic safety, how usable are they day to day? Does the signal quality hold up? How long did the devices last? What are the risks if you need to remove or replace it? Could there be cognitive side effects like brain overload? Evaluating risk versus benefit for desperate patients is ethically tricky.
And the ethics for the patients themselves must be complex.
Hugely. Informed consent, especially. How do you ensure someone truly understands the risks when they're desperate for improvement? Patient autonomy, making sure they control the device, their data. And what about long-term care? What if the company goes bust or jacks up the price?
Right.
Plus, devices like Neuralink can potentially write information to the brain, not just read it. That opens up a whole other can of worms.
Like enhancement. Using it on healthy people.
Exactly. And massive privacy risks. We're talking about raw brain signals, probably the most sensitive data imaginable.
Did the sources mention anything about the research process itself? I feel like I heard some criticism.
Yes, they did. Neuralink initially favored social media updates over traditional peer-reviewed papers, which is unusual in science. And their trial registration was apparently delayed, potentially conflicting with guidelines like the Declaration of Helsinki, though they did register later.
Why does that pre-registration matter so much?
The sources explain it's crucial for transparency. It stops researchers from, say, changing their goals mid-study just because the data looks different than expected. That prevents biased reporting. It ensures accountability and helps fight the file drawer problem.
File drawer.
Yeah, where studies with negative results just never get published, skewing the whole picture. Pre-registration builds trust.
Okay, so huge ethical considerations. What about legally? Are there laws for this kind of neurotech?
It's evolving. The sources talk about this debate. Do we need completely new neuro rights? Things like protecting mental integrity, freedom from manipulation, brain signal privacy, or can we adapt existing human rights?
Is anyone actually doing anything legally?
Yes, some places are starting. California and Colorado now classify neural data as sensitive information. Spain's got a charter of digital rights mentioning neuro rights. Chile actually amended its constitution to protect brain activity, so steps are being taken.
But no single overarching framework yet.
Not really, according to the sources. Existing laws like GDPR in Europe cover sensitive data, which includes neural data. The EU's AI Act would apply to AI and BCIs. But there's no specific comprehensive law just for neurotech itself. The sources argue we need to develop these principles now to protect liberty and ensure fairness.
And beyond the legal, the philosophical questions just seem immense.
Oh, they're profound. Like, how does our sense of self, our agency, change when our actions are filtered through a brain implant? What happens to learning through physical experience, embodied knowledge? Could it make us feel disconnected from our body?
It'll extend it beyond them.
Right. It challenges our very idea of human identity.
Yeah.
Are we becoming cyborgs? Is that bad? Or just different? Should we try to overcome being, you know, just carbon-based life? The potential upsides are there, but the sources urge caution about these deep shifts.
And autonomy. Responsibility.
Yeah. Does it increase freedom for someone physically limited? Or maybe decrease it in subtle ways. And who's responsible if something goes wrong? A malfunction. A hack. Then there's the far future idea of brain uploading.
Yeah.
That just opens up the biggest questions about self, consciousness, life itself.
And Neuralink, specifically.
Yeah.
They talk about unlocking human potential. Right? That sounds like enhancement.
It does. And that's a huge part of the neuroethics debate in the sources. What does unlocking potential even mean? Who decides what's desirable? Will it just create more inequality, a cognitive divide based on who can afford it?
So many questions.
Exactly. The sources stress we need this reflection now during the experimental stage to guide rules and not get swept up in either hype or, you know, unfounded panic.
It's incredible. We started with fictional ratings and memory gadgets, and now we're deep into brain interfaces, questioning what it means to be human. These sources really hammer home how fast Black Mirror is catching up to us.
And you see that common thread, right? Across all these examples, social credit, memory tech, BCIs, the sources highlight this constant tension.
Between
the amazing potential benefits, comfort, treating disabilities, efficiency, and the really significant risks.
Yeah.
Ethical knots, psychological tolls, privacy nightmares, societal shifts, misuse potential, making inequality worse. The material really emphasizes we need careful oversight, public discussion.
Yeah.
Like the Frontier source said, how we handle this tech defines a big chunk of our future social framework.
So thinking about you listening to this, what does it all mean? It really makes you reflect on your own relationship with technology, doesn't it? Not just as a consumer, but maybe as someone involved in shaping where it goes. How much integration do we want? How much of ourselves, memories, interactions, thoughts, are we okay with technology mediating?
And as these tools leap off the screen and into our world, getting right into our minds and relationships, the sources really leave us with this final crucial thought to chew on. How do we make sure innovation is guided by responsibility? By preserving what we actually value about being human, authenticity, connection, freedom, even the messy parts like grief, rather than just being driven by what's technologically possible or what makes the most money. That's the big question to sit with.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.